This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
The Tampa Bay Rays, they're defunct.
They don't exist anymore?
They don't exist anymore. I just decided today. We should make a call and let them know, but I just decided they're out.
I would rather watch the painting guy. Who's the painting guy?
Bob Ross.
I'd rather watch Bob Ross than watch my favorite baseball team play in Tampa.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
What a matchup. It is bracket season. What a matchup. Your favorite team playing a game in Tampa or Bob Ross painting a lake and a mountain.
Give me the lake all day long.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
This year, of course, I say of course, maybe you didn't know, the Rays are playing in a different stadium. Bulldog has a Tropicana field problem. Maybe a lot of people do. This year, the Rays have moved to the Yankees spring training facility in Tampa. The other place is in St. Pete, by the way, because of damage done during a storm to the, you know, regular stadium. So they've moved to an outdoor facility this year that is, I think I heard, shaped like Yankee Stadium. That's what teams are doing now. Like the Red Sox spring training ballpark has a green monster. Like it's the exact dimensions. So that should mean the Rays should be able to hit home runs to right field like the Yankees. Looks so easy. I mean, I probably could do it. I mean, it's so impressive to... Never mind. The home run that Wells hit in the first inning today for the Yankees went, like, landed in the first row. It's not a home run in any other stadium. Like, it still counts. So, not bitter. Just saying the Rays have moved. That's all. And I don't understand Bulldogs Bob Ross. To use that as the, like, kind of, it's this bad. It's so unsatisfying to watch a game in Tampa that I'd rather watch this guy paint. I'd love to watch that guy paint. People love that. You could pick a lot worse shows. There are a lot of shows he would not, when tested, I believe, watch over a Rays game against the Red Sox. I'm pretty sure. That's just talk. 803-0550 for your calls. Opening day. Got some more time here if you want to share your story for why your favorite baseball team is your favorite baseball team. Opening day today. I went over mine earlier. It took an hour, basically, for me to go through all my different favorite teams over the years. Right now, I'm not attached. Like I said, though, Toronto is the only team I could see myself getting back into. I'll never get into the Mets again. The Met thing was the combination of getting home from school, like middle school, high school. They're on TV, and they're good and fun. That was the recipe. That was the formula. And that's a pretty tough one to resist. Good, available, at a time when most, you know, live sports were not available. Just happened to be close enough to the market. It was on local cable. So that plus, you know, Gooden, Strawberry, Hernandez, Carter, all of it. We had a guy before, I didn't mention it to him because he went into a few different places. Remember the guy from the first hour who said how his dad liked the Reds, but gave up on the Reds when he signed up for a free t-shirt or something and he didn't get it? And it's like, that's it. I've mentioned this before, I doubt you remember or care, but this is my wife with Gary Carter. She was a Met fan as a kid, just like I was, and just coincidentally, she didn't grow up in Western New York, but was a Met fan and wrote a letter to Gary Carter asking for an autograph, and she never got a response, and thus she hated Gary Carter. I'm like, we had this conversation. She and I had a conversation about this like 2 weeks ago. Like, he's dead. Can you just let go? It's probably not even something he did maliciously. It's just like either piles of letters or maybe somebody dropped the ball on the staff. Maybe you gave him the wrong address. I don't know. Like, it could have just been circumstance. You didn't get the autograph. It's like, nope. Refuses to not hate Gary Carter. That's right there on her bio. If she had a bio, that's what it would say. Refuses to stop hating the late Gary Carter. 803-0550 for your calls. Here's Jack next. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Mike. Great story. I like that one about your wife. That's actually fun.
Yes. But she's not the type to just hate somebody forever and never let... She's not the type to do that. But in terms of Gary Carter, it's never going away.
Anyway, I'm calling about Chicago Cubs. In the 80s, I was from Buffalo and everything else. I went to Chicago. I was there for the mid-80s. I went to Wrigley Field many times, probably how Bulldog felt about Fenway. But really what it came down to was the fans. The fans were heartbroken year after year. Lovable losers, right? And I could always relate that with the Bills and the Sabres. And when the Cubs finally won, of course, took 100 years. Hopefully we don't have to wait that long here in Buffalo.
We're on our way.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was really an amazing time. I was there when the lights were just put on in Wrigley. There was a lot of controversy when they put lights on. You had Harry Carey. I was there during Dawson and Sandberg era. And it was great baseball.
You know, it really is a special place to go. I've been there four times maybe. And every time it's really just amazing that it exists where it does and just the joy in the crowd and the people who are, you know, so many of the fans there on a given day will be like just sort of experiencing it maybe for the first or one of the first few times.
And the neighborhood just, bars and everything. It's really cool. I actually, one story I'll just add to it. It was like one of my friend's fathers was a big Cubs fan. He was from Chicago. And I was there in 86 where they lost a playoff run with the Padres. And there used to be a bar called Cubby Beer, which I visit quite often. And the guy offered me a bottle of champagne. I'm like, why would I want a bottle of champagne? He goes, well, the Cubs lost. We're just giving these bottles. They couldn't open the locker room. So I brought it to my friend. I brought it to my friend's dad, and we made a pact. This is in the 80s, right?
Yep.
So anyhow, I told him, I said, let's make a deal. If the Cubs ever get to the World Series, we'll open that bottle of champagne. And that's what happened. When they played the Indians, the gentleman called me out of the blue, said he still had my bottle of champagne. We're hanging out in his living room. We opened it. It was the worst smelling champagne you ever could. It was like vinegar through his whole house.
Yeah. I wasn't sure. If it's whiskey, it's going to taste great. But
with champagne.
If it's wine, it's not going to taste great. That's right. Wow. So. That the champagne, did you say the champagne was like slated to go to the clubhouse if they won? And
Since they lost, what the Cubs did, is they just gave those bottles to the local bars outside Wrigleyville. And they were just whatever. They just gave them away or whatever they did with them. But they couldn't open them because they were losers, like they were all the time. So,
yeah.
But it was great to see that they finally won for, you know, one time in their life. And I'm, like I say, I've called you many times about the Bills and Sabres. Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping one time before our life, same thing like a lot of people call your show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Jack, this is really good. I like the story a lot. Thank you. Wow. 1984. So, 84, they're up 2-0 in the best of five playoffs to the Padres, and they lose all three in San Diego, and they gave away all the champagne. That's interesting. That's cool. You know it can't last, though. Like, a simple internet search will tell you it's going to be bad. Like, you can't drink it. It sounds more than like whiskey or something. It sounds more like the gum in the pack of cards. Like, you open a pack of cards from the 80s, it's not going to be, the gum is not going to be good. But, you know, I get the sentiment. I have a bottle. So my grandfather, who died before I was born, had a little bit of a liquor collection, and my father, you know, just kept it, but hardly ever opened anything. And then one day, 10 years, I built a bar, and around that time, he gave me all the booze. Like, here's all the booze. We don't touch it. Take it. And some of that stuff is really weird. We've opened a couple things. No champagne, no chance. There's no wine involved here. But there's a bottle of Canadian Club with the label, says 1967 on the front, on the label. And when I got this, I'm watching Mad Men at the time. And Mad Men, they're always drinking, you know, Canadian Club. Don Draper would have had this bottle on his desk in the show. And so I just looked it up. Like, what is this going to taste like? If I open this 1967 aged Canadian Club whiskey, is it like drinkable? And it's like, apparently yes, apparently it tastes the same, maybe better, but not, it's not ruined. Does that just last forever? Apparently it'll taste good. I still have never opened it. I've had it for a decade now. I've got it. I know right where it is in my house. I love the label on it. You know, it's almost like when I was collecting cards, like an old card. Like, it's, this is from then, 1967 Canadian Club. Champagne, though. Yeah, not surprised. That didn't work out. Here's Joe next. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Well, I want to say how I became a Philadelphia Phillies fan.
Okay.
Grew up in New York. My mom is from Philadelphia. My dad didn't like sports. My grandfather made me a Philadelphia Phillies fan in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was really weird, you know, living in Rome, New York, actually, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Being a Philadelphia fan with all the Yankees and Mets and everyone over, I always asked me as a kid, how are you a Phillies fan? I'm like, Mom.
Mom.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My fault. Grandpa said, you're a Philly fan.
That's very similar to my story with the Reds. My dad was not interested. My mom's from near Cincinnati, and so it was the Reds. Very similar.
So it was very hard to get Philadelphia Phillies hats back in the 70s and 80s. It wasn't like today. Yeah, as a kid.
Right.
So
right.
It was very hard to get.
You could never watch a game. You could never buy a thing. No jerseys. No. Right. It was like in a different world.
But I got to go to the set to watch a game. I've been to Citizens Bank Park, and our fans, yes, we're a little different in Philadelphia. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But no, I've been a Phillies fan all my life. I can actually rattle off the 1980s lineup.
Oh, my God, so yes. Yes. And even the 70s, you mentioned the 70s first. Those were good teams.
Well, fun fact, Steve Carlton, Cy Young winner for a terrible, I think they only won 30 games in 72, 71.
I want to say 10 and 27. I want to say 10 and 27 for St. Louis.
Yep.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Steve Carlton was, those guys were the, to me, you know, Mike Schmidt, Greg Luzinski,
right.
Dave McBride, Gary Maddox.
Maddox.
Boa, Booney.
Right.
Trio.
Yeah.
It's fun. Baseball is one of those sports that, for a lot of people, I think they become a fan of a team for strange reasons.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Right. Thank you, Joe. I have this wrong. 27-10, not 10-27. Carlton for the Phillies. What year do I want? 1970. He was 10-19. He didn't win the Cy Young, though. All right. Well, I'm glad to have this clarified, even if it was through a mistake. 1972 Phillies, his first year with the Phillies, 27-10. 41 starts, 30 complete games. 346 and a third innings. Jeez. Yeah, Carlton, lefty. Those Philly teams, I couldn't like them because I was Reds. And then Mets. I always hated Philadelphia. That has never actually changed. I've never liked a Philadelphia sports team at all. I've always disliked kind of all of them. Tomorrow we'll do hated instead of liked. Today's love. Tomorrow we can do hated. Because if I did hated, that's been more indelible for me. And Philadelphia teams just never, ever. I go there every year. I enjoy being there. I have friends there. They're normal people. They love sports. I love that, you know, a town that loves its sports. But I just cannot get with the Phillies have been good the last few years. I hate it. It really makes me upset that when the Phillies are good, I'm not good. No offense to Joe, of course. You know, that's his team. Not taking it out on him. There's nothing to do with him. Noah is next. Hi, Noah.
Hey, Mike. I just want to say first off about the old beverages. I've got a Sabres 20th anniversary Pepsi bottle that's tempting to pop open someday. Ooh. And I've got a Bills Coca-Cola 2-liter from the Super Bowl years, neither of which I don't think would be good anymore. But
would they fizz when you opened it?
That is the – I got to say the Pepsi, the Sabres Pepsi is in a glass bottle. The Coca-Cola Bills 2-liter is in a plastic 2-liter bottle, and it is completely, like, caved in on itself.
Yeah.
Like, it's very
yeah.
– it does not have shape anymore.
No.
So – but to the point of today's topic, I'm truthfully not really much of a baseball fan ever. However, that changed during COVID – when the Blue Jays came here to Buffalo, suddenly I found myself very invested in the Buffalo Blue Jays.
Oh, it was the best.
Even got a couple of tickets to a few of the games, went out and bought some Blue Jays gear, and found myself watching them on TV just because they were here. So, you know, and this past summer we went up to Toronto and caught a game as well. And you know, now I think the Blue Jays might be my team. I quite literally never watch baseball, but them being here during COVID was something special. I
agree with that. I loved that so much. I can't even really believe that happened. It was like the only good thing about COVID was that the Blue Jays moved. It's just amazing, you know, as such a baseball fan forever to like sort of wake up in the morning or sit here in the afternoon and think about like, oh, the Yankees are 15 minutes away. Like, that was so good. I went to 10 games, probably. Kind of wish it were more, but loved that. I loved how the Bisons and the Jays together, how wonderful was that for the Bisons, right? Like, they get all this money poured into their ballpark, the facility and, like, the field, everything that meant. And I loved that they redesigned the concourse to the extent that instead of restrooms, it would say washrooms, like it would in Canada. It would say washrooms. So it wasn't I that noticed that. Somebody else noticed that, told me. I think it might have been my brother-in-law who was here from Toronto. I don't know if that's right because the border was closed for a time there, but somebody else noticed that, and I just loved that they even went that far to turn restrooms into washrooms at the ballpark. Pat Malacaro, by the way, broadcaster for the Bisons, will join me in about 12 minutes to talk about their opener tomorrow. It looks like it could rain tomorrow, but hopefully won't. Let's go to Michael next. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay, well, I'm gonna give you Cincinnati Reds is my favorite team, and when I was in sixth grade, I was in the library, and I picked up a book that was an autobiography of Johnny Bench.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, what made me a fan is you realize that Johnny Bench played for Buffalo back in the '60s when we had a minor league team.
Yes.
Okay. Well, he was in a bus crash. Every player on the team except for him got killed.
Oof! Really?
Every player.
Like when? Is he as a child?
No, when he was in the minor leagues.
Not in Buffalo.
Yeah.
No, are you sure about this? I've never heard this.
Well, look it up. It's a fact. it's an autobiography that was not. That's what made me a Cincinnati.
You're telling me the entire Buffalo Bisons team was killed in a bus crash except for Johnny Bench? Wouldn't like everybody know that?
Back in the '60s,
whenever it happened, wouldn't everybody know that? I don't know. I have my doubts here.
Well, look it up. That's all I'm telling you.
Okay.
I read the autobiography. Read
okay.
it.
Might want to read it over. I don't know. If he's right, I'm sorry. It just feels like something every sports fan would know that story, and I've just never heard that. But anyway, speaking of baseball, I am wearing a Padres visor today, one of the teams that has not been mentioned as a favorite team. The San Diego Padres. I have never been a fan of the Padres. I've got no story. The reason for the visor, and I have a collection because it's opening day. I just grabbed it, and I have it because every time I go to a park for the first time or a city to watch a game for the first time, I buy a visor if they have it. Some teams more disappointing in the visor department than others. Remember the Tigers when I went to Comerica Park for the first time, their visor selection, they were like that plastic, almost like ladies golf visor from the old days, just like almost unwearable. You'll never see me wearing the Tigers one, but most of them are like this, you know, just cotton, comfortable. Saw San Diego against the Mets there with my son, who was 10 months old at, Petco. And just like, it is so much fun when you're at a major league ballpark, walking up for the game, don't have a ticket, just go to the box office. What have you got? He was so small that I only needed one ticket. And those days are over. One ticket, and you're buying a single, you can almost sit like anywhere. So we sat second row, third base dugout, and just, you know, the feeling, right? I'm in San Diego with my son at a Mets game against the Padres. Santana pitched for the Mets. David Wright is like, for me to you. And so special. That day is memorable, and I won't tell you the whole story, but for other reasons, you know, in terms of like my life and my family, very, very important day. He and I leave San Diego like the seventh inning or something. Didn't need to stay for the whole thing. He's so young. And in the car, put the game on in the car, and it's the day where the pitcher Galarraga for the Tigers is about to throw a perfect game, but there was a bad call on the last out at first, and so it wasn't a perfect game. I think Joyce was the umpire, called him safe, and so he lost his perfect game on that. That was the same day where I was at Petco to see the Padres. More baseball next. Pat Malacaro to preview the Bison season. After a break, Sal Capaccio joins me at 5. Mike Shope here. This is WGR.